Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the eighth wonder of the world, the flow of the century.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, now we're talking real music in the real final hour of The Usual Suspects for a way back Wednesday. Indeed it is. It must be my list. 60 minutes on the clock as we roll through the parental pickup line and hour number three.
And we're not going to mention,
subtle reminder.
We're not even going to mention the word penis this whole hour. We're not going to say penis, not a single time.
Nope.
You're not going to hear us say penis at all because we say penis a lot in the third hour. This hour, not saying penis, not a single time. Right?
Caller number two. That guy's talking about nasty stuff again.
Yeah, we got another caller that wants to go out.
Who's this, Bobby?
Bobby wants to go out Barry.
He wants to quote go with Barry. Is that redneck for do it?
Go ahead, Bobby.
Hey. I don't take too kindly to y'all coming in here making fun of us there, white people. First, you're making fun of Joel, and I just don't like it, Barry. I'm gonna change the channel to 97.1. I'm gonna listen to some country music.
Yeah.
Secondly, I got a question for Joel. Joel, are you there?
Yeah.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hey, do you think we could get some more minutes for Chris Clemens? I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah. Dude, it's great. I really want him to produce on Monday.
You know who that was?
Yes.
Jugs.
Yes, Juggalo Trey.
It just hit you.
So great. As soon as he was like, hey, I was like, Trey, that's why I went, yeah, right away. I knew it as soon as he did it. I've been in Michael Carroll's studio enough with him doing voices. That was so great.
Well played, sir.
Oh, I love it. Who is filling in for you on Monday? That's a good question.
I do not know.
Can we get Jugs to do it?
Oh, we can make a request.
I'm totally down for that. Remember, we had asked this a while back, and AJ was like, he's not ready. And then the next week, he was like, oh, he's filling in on the blitz. Oh, wow, he got ready in a week? Or were you guys just bogarting Trey?
You know how selfish Sam is when there's a good idea. It's got
to
be
so
on our show.
So we got to try to get, Trey on Monday. And then at least we'll be guaranteed one good show that week.
Last time. Hopefully he can make it work this time.
Well, what do you care? You're not going to be here. You could be, but you won't.
Well, I think he's in. Listen. All three of us care about this show, whether we're here or not. We're all invested in this.
Yeah. You're being a little insensitive. Stop.
So you want me to have your back?
You can't change your mind now.
I just want to get this straight.
You shut your whore mouth. I can do what I want, Nicholas. Do whatever I want.
You're so on the damn fence. The freaking pickets on the top are scraping your...
What? Hey, watch out now.
You know.
By the way, El Jefe said that those city hats, the reason there's meat on the back of it,
yeah,
is that they're all doing that. Every city is getting some food to represent the city on the back of the hat. And I said, well, just put a taco on there. And they said L.A. got tacos. Why did L.A. get tacos? L.A.'s not known for tacos. Put tofu on the back of their hat.
Some people
put a smoothie. Put a piece of broccoli since they're all vegan in L.A. Why wouldn't you put a taco from a team from Texas?
Seriously,
and
you
it
guys
can't
have...
be Dallas.
Can I ask this, though, too?
Can't be Dallas.
Steak? Because it's a steak, right?
It looks like a... I guess it's a steak. It looks like a steak you would eat.
So if it's a... Because it's well done. So if it's a steak, is Texas known for their...
Yes. Barbecue,
I would
steaks.
Think barbecue, yes. I get.
Oh, yeah.
But no. I would say from a steak perspective, Kansas City?
Nope.
Kansas City's known for barbecue.
Yeah, but I think what they're
Omaha
saying
is steaks, and they don't have a team.
But I think what they're saying is that we're known for barbecue meat.
Boy, I hope Milwaukee doesn't have a damn bratwurst on the back of their hat, because that's going to be embarrassing in more ways than
it's going to be a piece of cheese, obviously.
I don't know if that's obvious.
Yeah.
I hope so, because it's a whole lot easier to explain than a damn sausage.
Is it going to be mozzarella?
Oh, yeah. Look at you.
Yeah, pronounced it right. Well,
someone got an education.
Yeah, about time.
I learned how to pronounce things on this show.
Nice to know that you can be the producer and we can be DeVry.
I pronounce
anything. We can all figure it out. We give Nick a DeVry education while he produces the show. That's fantastic.
Oh, man. That's a bad hat. I'm not buying those.
No.
At all.
Like, yeah, you think about it city to city. Ooh. What is a certain city's food? What is Dallas?
Dallas will probably be quinoa. Just a bowl of quinoa. They're bougie in Dallas, right?
Yes. It's a clean city, though.
I don't know. Maybe it'll just be something that comes in ball form. Right? Maybe, you know, like a cheese ball or Rocky Mountain oysters or something like that. I don't know.
Oysters?
Rocky Mountain.
Do you know
oysters.
What Rocky Mountain oysers are, Nick? Google that in the next break. Let us
get it. Disgusting because I'm not going to.
Google it now and report back to us.
Don't Google it. Let me just bring you some tomorrow.
No.
I will stop.
The fact that you want to stop by and bring me food tells me I should not try. You would never do that on any
Google
regular
it
day.
Now.
Look, I'll let you put like head cheese on there. Does that work?
Well,
no, you have no
side.
Idea what either of these.
I appreciate you being back on my side. Yes, thank you.
He's back.
He's now typing in Rocky Mountain oysters.
I'm afraid.
Look it up. This is an interesting tweet.
Okay.
He's gonna. I tell you, I'm just going to get roasted from 4 o'clock to 7 o'clock for reading this.
Okay.
But I don't care because it's pretty funny.
All right.
But John, at Relax For Once on Twitter, hey, Barry. Is AJ getting promoted to PD the same thing as Bill O'Brien getting promoted to GM?
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
Dang.
Why are you shooting shots at AJ? AJ didn't choke away a 24-point lead on this station. Why are you shooting shots at AJ, bro? Leave that man alone. And Tyler.
Is my mic not working right now? I don't know, Nick. I might have to sit this one out.
Tyler said steak is apropos of Houston, and I agree with that, but why does the picture look that way? Why, I mean, like, on a fork, upside down, and it's just a weird, I would have thought it would have been like, you know.
Like barbecue, right?
Or just a barbecue pit, I guess, or something, I don't know.
That'd be a good one, like a barbecue pit.
It should have been a brisket, probably. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's up? I just googled it,
yeah.
Yeah, you would eat those.
I would not.
No?
You would eat testicles, I would not eat testicles.
What about head cheese? Have you ever had head cheese?
I didn't Google that.
Google head cheese.
Chicago is a hot dog or
Chicago
pizza?
Has to be a hot dog.
Hot dog
no,
or pizza?
I would think New York would be pizza.
Okay.
You would have like the Mets would be, they're kind of bougie, right?
Metropolitan.
A ham sandwich. And then the Yankees would be pizza. Actually, the Yankees just could be a penis because.
Like really?
Mm-hmm. That's. Mm. Oh, I broke my own rule.
Again.
Dadgummit! I didn't mean to say that word in a 3 o'clock hour. I apologize.
Well, here come the calls.
Oh, well. Yeah, that's a weird thing to do with the hats. I don't
so
like it.
When we
you
come
tried,
back from break.
You tried.
We do want to talk about the fact that we got some interesting information, people tweeting us to see if we had seen this, but someone actually took the time to research and chart all of the times the garbage can was used and hit during the Astros season in 2017, breaking it down by player and by when during the course of the calendar year that these garbage can bangers happened.
Yes.
So some very interesting things to talk about that. So we're going to get into that when we get back. So stay tuned for that as we roll through the final.
Right now, though, Joseph, I'd like to tell the folks about my bookie. Super Bowl's around the corner, folks. You want to get action on the big game? You want to get involved no better place to do that than MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. Go sign up right now. It is one of the most trusted in the industry, and you can bet on more than just football on MyBookie. They've got NBA. They've got Premier League. They've got college hoops. They've got the UFC. They've got it all. And they even have in-game live betting, and y'all, it's really cool because, like, if you miss getting a bet in before kickoff, then you're like, wow, you know, I still would love to get in on the second half. You can absolutely do that at MyBookie. They've got that in-game live action halftime. You can try to win more. Let's say you got your bet in on time, but you want to win more. You can absolutely do that too. Parlays, teasers, they have it all. Fast payouts, great promotions, some of the best customer service in the business. And again, those fast payouts, that's super important, man. A lot of folks in this business that don't like to pay out on time or quickly, you won't get that hassle with MyBookie. Go check them out right now. They're absolutely amazing. And when you sign up, make sure you put in promo code radio, because what they're going to do, they're going to match your deposit halfway. What that means is you put in $2,000, they're going to give you an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. How cool is that? And all you got to do is type in one word, radio. When you sign up, you activate that offer, you're good to go. That's promo code radio when you sign up at mybookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie.
Shake it fast. Watch yourself. Shake it fast. Show me what you're working with.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through the final hour of the show, it's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Another fun, spirited, sportsy and otherwise show. Did you catch the fact that Chris Middleton last night, the Greek freak, sits out? Chris Middleton pulled an Eric Gordon last night.
Did he?
51.
Ooh, he had to one-up Eric.
He had to one-up him, is right. But here's the thing, too. The thing that concerned me the most was, you're not on a football field. After the game, to celebrate, they took the Gatorade jug, the big one, full of water.
No.
And doused him on the court. And all I could think about is, what are you doing to the court?
Yeah, why? If that's wood. It's going to warp. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I was like, I don't think that was well thought
out. I've never seen a Gatorade bath on a basketball court before.
Oh, yeah, you have? Yeah, when the Celtics won the title, they did it to Doc Rivers with red.
I didn't watch
Gatorade. That. Oh, good. Well, so now it's not just that NBA season starts after Christmas. Sometimes you don't watch it all.
I mean, I watched it. I don't remember that. Why would I remember that? They won. I turned the TV off.
Okay.
I didn't watch it. But that is interesting. Is that the only other time you've seen it?
Yes. Now, so in all the years lately, of watching. No, lately now, this year, the trend is when someone's doing a post-game interview with the sideline reporter, they just take little cups of water and pour a bottle and they.
What would be great is if, like in baseball, where they rip their jerseys off, if they did that to the coaches.
No, they couldn't do it because they had the microphone showing.
Oh,
I'm stealing time.
Well, I'm just saying, and at the rest of the times they've done it, wouldn't it be great? You just see Mike D'Antoni out there shirtless, just running around, giving interviews.
With his white tank top underneath?
They don't even rip that off, too.
Oh.
All the way shirtless. Okay. That would be pretty awesome.
As much as I get accused of being gay on this show.
Uh-huh. Rightfully
you,
so.
You like to see, you just want to see shirtless men all over the world.
No.
Especially Rocket, like Houston local athletes, like local athletes from all the Astros.
I was
Rockets,
talking NBA wide. I just the whole NBA rip the coaches' shirts off. It'd be awesome.
You want to see Joel shirtless?
You've wanted to do that for
you've
a long
made that
time.
Request
you want us
quite
to do segments?
Are we doing it?
No.
What?
That was the quickest no in the history of mankind?
Yeah. Why not? Just give us all 6 weeks to tone up a little bit. We got this Twitch stream.
I'm not toning up in 6 weeks.
I will.
Your big ass ain't toning up in 6 weeks.
Oh, you want to do a weight loss challenge with me and see who can lose the most weight in 6 weeks? Because I'll tell you one thing that won't happen. I won't be going out every night. And I don't think you can stop because you're single, ready to mingle, player. You want to do that?
I don't want to do anything with you. Nothing.
You got two choices. Weight loss challenge or we take our shirts off. One of the two. Because you know what? I'm a big fan of Lil Nas X and mozzarella sticks.
Show.
All right. Huh?
This show has just been as organic as it could possibly
be. Cheating scandal. Let's talk it. Let's talk signstealingscandal.com.
Yes, because we were both tagged on it.
Yep.
People want to know our thoughts. I give, what's the guy's name, Tony?
I don't know. Yeah, just I go to the website.
Whoever did the actual due diligence of doing all the work of reviewing every game, but literally logged all the garbage can banging sounds, when they occurred, who was at the plate.
Now, he only had 58 of the 81 home games. He only had video of 58 of the 81 home games.
Oh, okay.
So those 58 games are logged. And in total, as a team, the Astros threw 8,274 saw 8,274 pitches. 1,143 of those were banged.
Were garbage can banged.
Yes. Okay. The most was Toronto, August 4th. There was 54 bangs on a garbage can while Toronto was in town.
That might have been a Marcus Stroman game.
I hope it was.
He was one of the ones that posted the video going, because they did this to me.
Minnesota had the second most, July 14th, with 48, and then third was Washington with 47.
Now, interesting to me, Barry, is let the people know, because we know that basically public enemy number one in all of this seems to have bent Jose Altuve, from accusing him of having a buzzer along with Alex Bregman, to having him use such devices or techniques or cheating to capitalize in the postseason. Why don't you tell us where what happened with Jose Altuve in that?
So they broke down the number of bangs and pitches. By the way, I mean, I severely underestimated how often this was done. This was done a lot more than I thought.
What also from the website, it looks like they were experimenting. When you look at the numbers
in the beginning,
It looked like they were experimenting with the garbage can.
And then you can tell when they figured it out.
May,
yeah,
June. Then June comes around, and all of a sudden you see double digit numbers.
And then you're like, oh, you know what would be interesting is to cross reference this, because here's what I said. Somebody sent it to me and was like, Barry, you're a numbers guy. You would really appreciate this. So I looked at it, and I was like, while I do appreciate the amount of time that it would take to put this together, what I would like to have seen from this would be to not only just break down the number of bangs, but I want to know what pitch it was and the result of the pitch. Was it a ball or strike? Did the batter make contact? And what was the result? Was it an out if they did make contact?
True outcome versus
right. Right. Yep. Then I want to know what happened in that inning, and then I want to know what happened in that game. Because if all this and their record was 9-70 or some crap like that,
doesn't matter.
Then this is a stupid witch hunt for nothing, because it didn't help them cheat. I mean, it didn't help them win. They just cheated for no reason. They're dumb, and it's dumb to track this down. So I would have loved to have seen the statistics on the outcomes of the cheating. But what I also think would be interesting is if we track the Astros in 2017, month by month, now that we know that April, May, and June was an experimental month where they didn't really do it a whole lot. And then once July turned around or came around, then it got interesting.
So we'll break it down, because by player, a lot of people would have said, well, how many did Altuve get? But from what it looks like from the different charts is Altuve was one of the ones that did it the least and capitalized the least.
So the person that got the most garbage can bangs while at the plate was Marwin Gonzalez. He saw 776 pitches, had 147 bangs. Second on that list, George Springer.
That was a little bit surprising.
139 bangs on a garbage can while he was at the plate over 58 games. Third on the list by one. So it was 139 for Springer. Carlos Beltran had 138 bangs on a trash can while he was at the plate. Fourth on the list, Alex Bregman. 133 bangs, saw 800 pitches. So out of the 800, he saw 133.
Okay.
Altuve on the list saw 866 pitches, the second most of any player on the team in 2017 over these 58 games. 24 bangs on the trash can.
24 out of over 800 pitches seen.
And they banged on the trash can 24 times. And what do you think the odds are that he put something in play and was on base every single time of those 24? I don't think Jose Altuve really benefited from this whole scheme.
I don't either.
And because people were bitching about his MVP season and give it back. Really, you're going to give back an MVP over 24 times that someone let him know that it was a breaking ball and not a fastball? Because how many times has that happened with a runner on second with someone at the plate? I bet if we charted that, it'd be pretty close.
It wouldn't
be in the hundreds,
right?
But it would be closer to that number. And my point is that this was what happened with Altuve is probably more in line with how the rest of the league cheats when it comes to sign stealing, and not 140 something like Marwin Gonzalez. That's excessive.
Marvin Gonzalez, if he, and again, that's where you get into the data that we'd like to see as follow-up to what we saw, because the result could be that Marvin Gonzalez got a hell of a big contract out of that.
By the way, there's proof in here that the team hated Tony Kemp. Saw 23 pitches, no bangs on a trash can. They're like, we're not helping you. Also, second, A.J. Reed, 27 pitches, four bangs. They're like, why waste time?
No wonder why he said he didn't know anything about that going on.
Tyler White, 106 pitches, 28 bangs.
So let's see, 20,
Derek Fisher,
the rest 16. Of them were swings and misses.
Derek Fisher got 16 bangs out of 211 pitches. Mariznick was up there, 83. Didn't help. Evan Gattis was 71. Brian McCann, 45. Josh Reddick, 28. Well, no one helped Reddick out of his 725 pitches. Correa, under 100 at least. 97 bangs, 594 pitches. So about every sixth pitch, they would bang on a trash can for him. That's like once in a bat. When you think of numbers like that, that seems like a lot.
I don't think those numbers make Daniela happy.
A banging out 94 times. Oh. Yuli, 120 bangs. There you go. Pretty interesting.
Interesting stuff. All right, we'll continue to roll on. We got 30 minutes to go on the show. Half hour on the clock. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back for the final half hour of the show, and I would be remiss if I did not do this for the three of us, and we can all chime in on it, but we do, as we always say, appreciate our suspects, some more than others. And there have been some loyal ones that have been with us since day one. And one of the best is having a birthday today. So we want to give a special shout out to Pink Valkyrie.
For me? Oh.
Our girl Christina having a birthday today. Yes. Happy birthday to her.
Happy birthday, Pink Valkyrie.
Queen of Cream City. Yeah. Cream rising to the top today. Might not be tall in stature, but she's top of our list. See what I did there? Keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars, Barry.
Or stuff on the top shelf.
All right.
Wow.
Then, well, you were just, today is just one of those days.
Yeah, I just had to get on my buddy Eric Hostetter because he's always texting me, hey, what was the link to that? Like I'm his Google. What was the link to that? What was the link to that? Bro, just Google it. So I sent him the link. I'm like, I'm not your personal Google, man. Eric used to write for me on the cage door. Great, great writer.
You're Joel's personal Google.
No, Google. Definitely not Joel's personal Google.
That's my personal bitch. It's different than my Google.
Big talk.
So here's, and I don't know how you feel about this, Mr. Laminack, but I'm going to present it to you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Real quick.
Yes.
Just to put a bow on the whole banging.
Yes.
Discussion. I did look up the Houston Astros month by month stats.
Yes.
And in April. So it started in June is when they really took off.
Okay.
They were experimenting, I think, the most between the beginning and May 24th looks like to be five bangs on a trash can. No, I'm sorry, six. So six bangs on a trash can at home throughout an entire game. The rest of them was one or two here or there. They're figuring it out, right? They're working out the kinks. That was through the end of May, basically. I'm going to run through the splits starting in April for home runs. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
30, 52, 46, 44, 32.
So the second month.
When they weren't really doing it right. All that much, they had 52 home
most
runs.
Most home runs, right?
Right. And then it steadily declined from June through the end of the year. If you want to look at batting average, that's a little more telling. It went from 272 in April, 280 in May, jumped up to 294 in June. 323 in July, and then tumbled to 254 in August, which is a little bit surprising, but okay. And then September was 270.
You got the wins and losses?
I have runs scored, but I do not.
I'd just be interested in their record during the real heaviest
I do
times
not have the wins campaign. And losses for each month, but I'm sure I could pull that up pretty easily. Schedule and results.
Okay.
Okay, here you go. April was 16-9.
Okay.
May was 22-7. June was 16-11. July 15-9. August they were 11-17. September they were 20-8. Now I think you would want to get the home splits for all those.
Yep.
But I did take a look at the one, the most egregious on the list, which was the game on August 4th against Toronto. There were 54 bangs on a trash can. And I thought, how'd that game go? What did they do in that game? That game, 16-7.
They won.
They won. Oh, they had a nine-run inning in the fourth. They scored in all but the second and the fifth.
That was against Toronto.
That was against Toronto. Won 16-7. It was not Marcus Stroman.
Oh,
it was Cesar Valdez.
Okay.
Who lasted 3 1/3 innings, gave up 6 earned runs. Now, I am curious to see around that, because the game before, 41 bangs, and the game after, 23 bangs. But they really got their money's worth on those 54. Put up 16 runs. Because I thought, wouldn't it be hilarious if they lost like 2-1?
Right. Pitcher's duel.
Oh, no. They won 16-7.
That's not a good
thing. It was like, I hope the national media doesn't hear about that.
Yeah, not what you were hoping for there.
What's up, Bobby?
Don't know if this is what you're hoping for here.
Probably not.
But Bob Nightingale, USA Today, the one that brought the initial conversation to the table the other day and said Dusty Baker looks to be the choice for the Houston Astros. He's now reporting as of 3:13 in the afternoon. The Houston Astros and Dusty Baker have reached agreement on a short-term deal to become their new manager.
Well, one, I like the sound of short-term.
Mm-hmm.
Two, Dusty Baker was not the right choice, but he was the safe choice.
Weren't there several safe choices?
Well, Dusty was the safest of the choices. You weren't going to go wrong. It wasn't great. You weren't moving the organization forward. But given the scandal and the turmoil and everything else, and just not messing things up any worse than they already are, Dusty Baker was the safe choice for the Astros. I don't think he was the best choice, but I think he was the safest. So I understand the pick. There was a name early on that you knew was going to be in the running, along with Showalter. Those were the two of the names that you just knew.
You don't think Joe Espada was the safest?
No. He was a manager or a coach
of a cheater.
A coach on a cheating team.
Okay.
He was not just, I didn't think he was going to get it because of that. You can't promote a guy that was on a team that cheated. And that's essentially what you'd be saying you did. Or that would be the perception. You needed to bring in someone from the outside. And now I've seen some people like, well, Dusty turned his eye, turned his head when Bonds was cheating. Well, there was a lot of people, a lot of managers in the steroid era that probably were like, guys, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, there was.
It's not that I don't think Dusty Baker condoned the cheating, but he did have the experience of navigating it.
Yeah, I think that I don't know that he was the safest. I just, to me, the thing that we were talking about yesterday is the thing that I'm most interested in is, how open is he going to be to analytics? Because he's as old school as it gets. He and Showalter were the two oldest old school guys on the list.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that how forward thinking and numbers driven this Astros organization has been. What's the happy medium? I mean, if he's not going to have his way or the highway, obviously, because Crane obviously kept a lot of the guys in the analytics department around.
Sure.
And a lot of the people that worked under Luno. So they're going to keep doing what they were doing. And the other thing that you know about Dusty Baker is he's driven pitching staffs into the ground.
The Chicago staff.
Yeah,
I saw somebody mention that. They were like, well, Dusty was terrible in San Francisco. He turned a blind eye to the cheating from Bonds. Then he leaves and goes to Chicago and blows out Pryor and who else was out there at the time?
Was it Kerry Wood? Or
it might have been Wood and Pryor. Blows out their arms. He was there in the Nationals in 2017. 2 years later, they win a World Series. Again, he's won 52% of his games in the regular season. He's not a good postseason manager.
Say, regular season's not
41% of his games he wins in the postseason, which isn't good. But A.J. Hinch wasn't a great manager in general before he got here. I think this team is built to win now. And I feel like you could have gone out and gotten a manager that could have felt more comfortable with the analytics and taken more advantage of what this team is and the potential that they have. but I understand why Jim Crane did what he did. Jim Crane, this was not a baseball move. I hope people know that. Hiring Dusty Baker for the next season, and because you just said it, the deal was a what? Short-term
deal?
2 years.
Ken Rosenthal reporting Dusty Baker agrees to a 2-year deal to manage the Astros.
That is not a baseball move, folks. That is a damage control move. That is all that is.
So A.J. Hinch becomes the Astros manager in 3 years.
No way.
No?
A.J. Hinch will never be back with the Astros, and neither will Jeff Luhnow. Not happening.
Okay.
They won't do that. But if Bannister doesn't have a job, if, you know, there's another young, you know, somebody on the national squad, if they stay contenders for a couple years, you know, there's going to be plenty of opportunities to bring in young managers that understand today's game with the analytics. But Dusty is literally just damage control. That's what this move is.
Okay. 70 years old, oldest manager in baseball.
Yeah.
2-year deal. I mean, look, here's the thing. He's going to increase his numbers for the regular season. Because as you and I both said, the contracts and everything coming up aren't going to affect him this year. And based on what the division has looked like in the past and what we've seen so far in terms of offseason acquisitions, I think it's a pretty clear path for them to win the division again. So they're going to win the division. They're going to get in the playoffs. So Dusty's numbers on all those fronts are going to go up. But the big challenge is going to be, what are you going to do in the postseason? And
well, I think this team can still win in the postseason. It won't surprise me to see this team in the ALCS again this year at all.
I really believe it's going to be Yankees, Astros again. It's just how the general manager position is going to be so important, because how you try and move on from Gerrit Cole when if you have the two teams matching up for a third time, and all of a sudden, your best pitcher a year ago is pitching in pinstripes.
Yeah.
How do you combat that?
Well, here's the thing, and I saw Dr. Dre on 290 had tweeted about this, and it was something I thought about, but the more I go over this move in my head, this makes a lot. Jim Crane is playing chess. He's not playing checkers, okay? Mm-hmm. What I think happened here is he knew he needed to bring in a manager to do damage control on the field, off the field, in the media, around baseball, around the country, and sports in general. And Dusty Baker was that guy, which is why he hired the manager before he went out and got a GM. The manager was a short-term fix. This was a Band-Aid, and this was damage control. But the GM is where you need to pay attention.
Big time.
That's going to be a longer-term contract and a longer-term deal. Dusty's here for 2 years. Thank you for your service. Thank you for getting us through this hard time. Now the GM gets to pick the manager of the future. And I think that's why he went in this order. He needed a guy for spring training. You needed a guy to get the season going.
But from a roster standpoint, too, and you'll know it'll sort itself out, too, with the fact that Verlander will be up. Correa and Springer decisions will have been made, and you know what you're going to have going forward.
You're going to have to figure out your roster and your manager around the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't surprise me. And look, pay attention to who Dusty Baker picks as his coaching staff.
Sure.
Because some of those names might be your manager of the future for this team, especially if they go ahead and get a GM and he has some say in who's going to be on that staff, along with Dusty. Dusty's going to pick his guys. But if the GM, depending on how long it takes, they could be just in the back saying,
and you assume a spot is not going to be back.
I would not think so. I don't think they want anyone.
Brent Strom's got to be back.
I would agree with that. And outside of him, I'm not sure they want anyone in that dugout that was even associated in any way, shape, or form. The hitting coach.
I don't think Dusty does.
Any of that.
For sure. And I think from an organizational standpoint, you can sell this one by saying if the only coach you keep off of that staff is
a pitching coach.
They didn't have anything to do with the garbage can.
Exactly. Anymore. And I think you don't touch Brent Strom if he wants to be here, and everybody else you start over, because you can't have anybody associated with cheating in that dugout.
We are the usual suspects. We've got one segment to go before we put a ball on the show. That means Fred, AJ, Aaron, they're going to take you from 4 to 7. But to get there from here, we're going to take a break, come back, and do one more segment of what we do best right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Well, we've got breaking news.
Yeah.
For ESPN and the rest of the broadcasting sports world, the breaking news is Dusty Baker is the new manager of the Houston Astros on a 2-year deal.
Yeah.
For suspects and loyal listeners to the show, the breaking news is you're going to want to be tuned into us after the Super Bowl on Monday, regardless because of the game. But now you're going to want to be tuned in even more because the man, the myth, the legend, the crank caller, Juggalo Trey, is going to be producing for the lazy producer that is Nick Sciarra taking a day off as he recovers from Super Bowl in Vegas. Trey, we are ecstatic that you are going to be doing the show.
I'm really hyped to be on The Usual Suspects with my friends, you know, and it'll be the day after the Super Bowl, and hopefully the Chiefs win.
I'm with him on all of that.
Oh, you want the Chiefs to win?
I want the Chiefs to win.
Okay, because of the Niners, Packers.
Oh, because I hate Shanahan. I told you that.
Oh, yeah.
A good reason.
So, Trey, I'm going to have to ask you. You're going to have to watch the game and the commercials. It's going to be a big deal that we talk about.
Yeah, the commercials are can't miss.
You gotta be ready. Don't get up to go pee. I'm just going to need you to wear a diaper like a marathon runner and then just pee and poop yourself during the Super Bowl so you don't miss a thing.
That's definitely not going to happen.
Barry, just call that a Saturday at my house. Why can't you do this?
Because I'm not like 3 years old.
Don't NASCAR drivers poop their pants?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't
know. Yeah, you know. Do NASCAR drivers, do they just stop in the middle of the race and get out
in their onesies
and go pee-pee?
I'm not going to ask them that.
You know for a fact they do. So just pretend like you're a NASCAR driver on the couch and pee yourself through the Super Bowl.
Why would I do that?
Because we need to be on the same page when it comes to what we see.
Right.
And talk about.
Well, that's not going to happen. Zero chance.
All right.
Go out and get yourself a flame retardant onesie.
Those are like thousands of dollars.
Well, who cares? You're producing on Monday. You'll make it all back.
How bad do you want this, Trey? Really?
I mean, obviously, I really want to produce the show, but I'm not going to go to that great a length.
Well, we want you here, and I'm excited. I'm excited to know you're doing the show. I tried to get you on a lot earlier when Nick was out, but AJ wanted to bogart it and allow you just to do for your first big break to be the Blitz and not, you know, our stupid little show. So we're happy to have you.
Well, I'm happy to be here.
Will you be giving us any more sound bites after that on that day that we'll be able to turn into a musical masterpiece?
We'll see. There's a possibility. You never know.
Because you know the suspects would love that because you already have the number one most requested bump music on the history of The Usual Suspects.
You know what happened? The story behind that was he said Van Chancellor, and I was like, oh, yeah, I remember that dude. But I said, oh, yeah, really quickly, and it sounded like a goat noise.
It did sound like a goat noise.
That's a nice way of putting it.
It did. It sounded like two goats having sex.
That's
the wrong
not
way.
What it sounded
the
like.
The wrong way.
Or one redhead having sex in the production room.
Is there goat style, by the way? Is that a... Well,
can you talk about this on the radio?
Of course we can. It's The Usual Suspects, yeah. Right? Have you not
now,
listened to
the
show before?
Now, it's also
the
3 o'clock hour, which makes it more apropos, but it also stirs up more controversy.
What are you, new?
A little bit.
Okay. So, some text from the text line before we get out of here.
Yes.
Great, or says, guys, I bleeping love this show, especially Joel with the hammer impression, Radio Gold. That is from Pool Man Phil.
Phil, thank you very much.
This is Demetrius. This is in regards to Nicholas being his lazy ass self and not getting here on time for the show on Monday after Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. But Demetrius said, I live 10 minutes from the airport. I'll pick Nick up. And I'll get him here at the station by 1:30 because I care about the show. See, our Demetrius cares about the show. How come Nick can't care about the show? That's the real question in all this.
Can I also remind you, Barry, because you tried to do this whole kumbaya thing that we were all, you know, so intertwined and we all cared about the show the same amount. The next time that the Blitz are jet-setting to Vegas.
Yes.
Chances that Nick leaves us high and dry just to go again.
1,000%.
Well, that's all I got to say.
Okay. AR Platinum said, if Trey's there on Monday, I'm sending in something spicy because he's the one that got the chip for you.
No. We're not doing that again. I got to work.
Yeah. Well, you just wear your diaper and then...
There it is!
Make sure... Well, actually, that's when you're going to want to get that flame retardant.
I was going to say, then it's really going to be flame retardant.
If it's spicy and you poo, it's going to catch your pants on fire, probably, so... lot of text coming in about the Monday. It's going to be fun.
That's great.
Yeah. And then Josh and Beaumont had a question, NBA question.
All right.
I haven't been following the NBA too close, but
you and Barry have something in common.
Is CP3 trade to the Lakers a possibility at the deadline? You know they will go all in and try to win this year for Kobe's family. That's from Josh and Beaumont.
It really isn't. When you look at the numbers alone and the fact that Chris Paul, who constantly says, and for look, let's just be, I said it, I'll say it again. He's having a hell of a season. I thought he would. He's killing it. But the problem is he's also killing it financially. And he did not do with what a lot of players that haven't won a ring later in their career do. And that is say he would take less so that he could try and gain more by winning a championship. If you recall what he did with the Rockets was, he was even kind of haggling back and forth on how many years he could get the supermax amount of money. Yeah. At over $40 million a year in the final year of the deal and close to 40 this year, for the Lakers to make that deal, they would have to gut their roster of everybody short, probably, of the Brow and LeBron.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make you better.
No.
So I don't believe it's realistic at all.
And if you're the Thunder, you got to wonder, what is it that you want in return? What can you get in return? Yeah. And is it worth it?
They want short-term deals on veterans, and they want lots of assets, draft picks, and money, because they're just starting over. And look, the nucleus that they've shown that they have is only doing them, good things and positives for going forward, because Gallinari is going to be expendable. Steven Adams is going to be expendable. But when you have Shai Gilchrist-Alexander and you have some of the young talent and still a young Dennis Schroeder, and you have some of the guys that they've already put on their roster, and I think something like 5 or 6 first-round picks in the next couple years, they're going to be rebuilding a nucleus of young talent that they hope then will be able to make a run. So that's what they are after, and I don't know that that's what the Lakers could offer.
In order for this to work, and I do think there is a scenario, is it would have to be a three-team trade.
That's a good point.
It would have to be a three-team deal, because I'm looking at the salaries and the years remaining.
Yeah.
Outside of LeBron and AD, who are not going anywhere, like you said, Danny Green's got $14 million left in 2 years. Well, if you're the Thunder, you don't want to have to fade Danny Green for a year and a half. So the first player that has a year left is DeMarcus Cousins.
Which is expendable, but not he's not making enough money.
Million.
Yeah, he's not making enough money.
That's $3.5 million, and then you have
Caldwell
Jared
Pope.
Dudley, Troy Daniels. These are all one-year contracts. But everybody else has at least 2 years left.
Caldwell Pope signed a multiple?
He's got $8 million in 2 years left.
$8 million a year for 2 years?
Well, it just says salary, $8 million.
Yeah, he's getting $8 million for 2 years. That's crazy. Talk about a guy stolen money over his career.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's viable. I don't think it's something that's
but I could
it's
see,
possible, but it's
I,
not probable.
But I could see a third team, because even the money doesn't match. Dude, you think about how many people you would have to add. You would have to add Danny Green. You would have to add basically Caldwell Pope and his $8 million. You'd have to add Avery Bradley and his $4 million. Now you're gutting the Lakers to get Chris Paul. That doesn't make sense.
God, so I'm just telling you.
If you shipped Avery Bradley to the Thunder, and that would be Chris Paul's spot to play, right? Point guard.
Him and Rondo, yeah.
Yeah, and then you bring in somebody, another superstar with an expiring contract from another team to make the money work, and then everyone's going to have to probably throw a ton of draft picks at the Thunder. It's just going to be really, really,
really
difficult.
Tough to do.
Yeah, totally agree.
I can tell you one team that would be ideal if Chris Paul, if you could make it work anywhere.
Where?
Milwaukee.
Yeah.
You let him handle the ball with Giannis. Yeah. And all the supporting cast, he would make them better.
You think they get along and everything gels?
I do.
Yeah?
I do. And I think that because of the fact that young but not as established as a James Harden type player, and also not the same mentality and personality as James Harden, Giannis would be welcoming and open to having an experienced veteran like Chris Paul. And I think that guys around him already know who he is, what he does best, Korver and those guys. I think that would be an ideal situation for him, okay. Kind of being a stabilizing force for a younger base team.
Hey, can I just tell you real quick before we go that it feels good to be followed by the best football team in the city of Houston?
Oh, did they do what I told them to do?
The Houston Roughnecks followed
me. Yes, I did. You're welcome.
And it feels good. Yeah, because their fan page followed
me.
And people were like, that's not the real one. I'm like, I know, dumbass. I can read. It obviously says fan page. I realized that. I was making a joke. So you reached out and told them to follow me?
So once I saw that, I made a few calls, reached out to a few people. I said, do me a favor, please, and follow my boy so he can have a real team to follow. And they were like, done.
Followed him back, and I appreciate that. Happy birthday to Pink Valkyrie.
Yep.
Thank you to AR Platinum for the pizza.
Yes, for
and,
sure.
And that's it.
Trey's that was pissed all the... he didn't get any. And Trey will be our producer on Monday when Nick is once again Benedict Arnolding us for Vegas. So that's the information up until now. Fred, AJ, and Aaron and the Blitz is coming up next. So have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you again tomorrow right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We'll be right back.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not. Yeah, boy.